so much, choir. We appreciate that beautiful singing today. Now I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to the Gospel of John, the fourth book in the New Testament, John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. We are continuing the sermon series on the I Am statements of Christ in the Gospel of John. It is like no other gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke make no reference to Jesus' seven I Am statements. We've already seen two of those I Am statements. John chapter 6, where he said, I am the bread of life. And then last week when we saw in John chapter 9, where he said, I am the light of the world. And today we've worked our way up to the third I Am statement, just taking them in the order that John gives them by the Holy Spirit. And we're in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Now, I know we have many different translations that are in use here today. You might be reading from a translation where it says, I am the gate. It's the same thing. Jesus is the portal to everlasting life. He is that one and only opening that we have available to us when it comes to everlasting life with Him and the Father in glory. So I want us to see that third I Am statement today, I am the door. And it is interesting to once again point out to you that when Jesus makes these I Am statements, the Jews understood that He was claiming to be no less than God Himself. You might want to take a left-hand turn in your Bible right now, back a couple of pages to John chapter 8, verse 58, where again Jesus is talking to these same Jews, and He makes this I Am statement. He says, before Abraham was, I am. That's bad English, but it's good theology. And the Jews understood exactly what Jesus was saying. He is saying, before one of the most venerated patriarchs that the Jews have in all of their storied history even existed, before Abraham was, I am. I pre-existed Abraham. I am eternal. I am no less than the deified God Himself. And this gave the Jews really a lot of anger toward Jesus, because they didn't accept His claim to be Jesus or to be God. And so we come now to that third I Am statement in John chapter 10. If you'd turn there with me in verse 1, I just want us to read these 10 verses together. And I want you to read silently as I read aloud. John 10, and beginning in verse 1, where Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which Jesus had spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus is the door of the sheep. He makes that divine claim when he says, I am the door. I know you have the listening guide there with you in the worship pages, and you see three clear and distinct points here. Let me make this statement before we get into it. I'm going to spend about 75% of my time on the first point, so you clock watchers won't have to get all nervous and upset if you think that we're going to be here till supper time. Don't worry about it. It's all going to work out just fine, all right? So let's look at that first point, because we need to understand what Jesus is saying in verses 1 through 5 when he says that he, as the door, is legitimate. And he is saying here, I am the only proper way into the sheepfold. I am the only prescribed and truthful way into heaven. And to reassure us of that, Jesus begins all this discourse with a very interesting statement. In my copy of God's Word, it is the statement, most assuredly. Now, you might be reading from a copy of God's Word that says, I tell you the truth. Or maybe you're reading from a translation that says, truly, truly, or verily, verily. It's all the same thing, because in the original language of the Bible, it's two words here, repeated, one word really repeated twice. In the original language of the Bible, which is the Greek language, verse 1 begins this way, amen, amen. And the translators have translated that all kinds of different ways. But amen, amen just means truly, truly. What I'm telling you is the truth. I've heard many people today say amen after songs that have blessed you or after prayers that have blessed you. And what you're really saying when you say amen is you're saying, I agree with that person because what they're saying is the truth. And so Jesus doesn't use amen at the end of the discourse here. He uses amen, the statement of truth, at the beginning of this discourse, because he wants to make clear to his listeners that what he is saying is legitimate. His words are full of veracity and integrity. What he is saying is the absolute truth. We can take it to the bank. And so when Jesus makes the statement, I am the door, he is saying, I am the one and only way. I am the only legitimate way to God the Father. Every other way is illegitimate. And so we read that again in verse 1. Most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, and remember, he is the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Chapter 10 is a perfect follow-up to what we read last week in chapter 9. Remember, we read the healing of the blind man? And the blind man became a witness for the Lord. He lived it and he told it. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he testified to that fact. And you remember how the Jews responded to him. The scribes and the Pharisees were so upset with his agreement that Jesus is the light of the world, that he is God, that they threw him out of their little clique, out of their little religious system, and said, you can't be a part of us anymore. And so Jesus now follows that up. He follows this persecution up with chapter 10, where he is talking about those same scribes and Pharisees that persecuted the healed man in verse 9. And he is saying that they are like the false shepherds in verse number 1. They are not going to get to God the Father through Jesus, the one and only doorway. They're going to try to get there through their own religious system, through their own list of do's and don'ts, and that just isn't going to work. They're going to try to find some other way to get into heaven, but there is only one way to get to heaven. It reminds me of when I was a teenager growing up in a town very much like Noonan. It was a town of about 20,000, county seat town with the courthouse right there in the middle, courthouse square. And on Friday nights, all the teenagers would go up and down the drag, right down Center Street. And there on Center Street on Friday nights was the Bowie Theater, named after Jim Bowie, the hero of the Alamo, a good Texas name for a theater. It was the only theater in all of our town of 20,000. And somewhere in that process on Friday night of dragging up and down Center Street and Main Street, young people would go into the Bowie Theater to watch some movie that was on that day. And that day, it didn't cost a whole lot. We paid a princely sum of $3 to get into the Bowie Theater and watch John Wayne in True Grit. And there was always some classmates of mine that didn't want to pay that high price of $3. And so they'd get some weak-minded individual that they had power and influence over, and they would get him to pay the full amount. Again, he was a weak-minded person. He would go in the legitimate way, through the front door, and then after the lights dimmed and the previews were being shown, everyone's focus was on the screen, this person would go to the exit door by the screens of the theater, the back door into the alleyway, and he would open up the back emergency entrance, and in would come all of these people free of charge, come in the unprescribed, the illegitimate way. Well, of course, not all of us were watching the previews. Many of us saw what was happening, and the ushers in the theater saw what was happening too. And they immediately approached these people who found their seats at various locations in the theater, and they ushered them out. My friend, in the same way, there are many people who are trying to get into heaven in illegitimate ways. They are trying to get into heaven through their good works, through their philosophies, through their religious ideas. But my friend, the only way into the sheepfold, the only way into heaven with God the Father is through the doorway of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He paid the price. He paid the price for you and me. He opens up the door. He throws up His arms and He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the door. If you want to go to heaven, you must come through me, not by any other means, no matter what anyone else tells you." And then He goes on to expand that in verse number 2. Look at there in verse number 2. He says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, what is very interesting here is that a little bit later on, as we've already read, in verses 7 and 9, Jesus says, "I am the door." And I know a lot of you who are really thinking with me this morning are a little bit confused at this point. How can Jesus be the shepherd in verse 2 who goes through the door and be the door in verses 7 and 9? How can He be the shepherd and the door at the same time? Well, let me illustrate it to you this way. In Bible days, a shepherd would bring his sheep at night into a pen that had about 10-foot high walls around it. And it wouldn't have a doorway or a gate at its opening. And when the shepherd got all of his sheep inside that pen, inside that sheepfold, he, along with all of his colleagues, would lay from head to toe in the opening of that sheepfold, forming a doorway. And if there was any predator that wanted to get into the sheepfold, they had to step over the laid down body of the shepherd, who now was the doorway himself. And they had to deal with that shepherd. And that shepherd slept with one eye open. And whenever he saw a predator or a thief or sensed that one was near, he leaped to his feet and he defended the sheepfold. And so we see here how the shepherd could have his vocation as a shepherd and at the same time be the door in verses 7 through 9. I'll tell you another beautiful thing about that is here are the sheep inside the sheepfold, and here's the shepherd who is also the door at night, protecting them from those intruders on the outside. But there might be a sheep who might get the bright idea that he just wants to take a midnight stroll and he wants to go outside the sheepfold. And so if he's going to try to do that, what is he going to have to do? He's going to have to deal with the door. He's going to have to deal with that shepherd who has laid down his life. By the way, next week in John chapter 11, we're going to be talking on Palm Sunday about Jesus being the good shepherd who does what? Lays down his life for the sheep. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He laid down His life for you and me, not only to protect me from the devil and from thieves and robbers, but also to secure me in the sheepfold, because I can't get past Him. He is the door. He has locked me in. I am secure. And that's why we as Baptists believe in the security of the believer. We're one of the few denominations here today that believes that once you're saved, you're always saved. And friend, that's not just a Baptist doctrine, that's a Bible doctrine. You're here in John chapter 10. Why don't you fast forward with me to verse 28. Now, this isn't part of the sermon. This is just for free. But for those of you that have debates about whether you can lose your salvation or not, this ought to answer it right here. John 10, verse 28. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. How long is eternal? It's forever. Is it till you mess up, till you sin, until you rip your britches doing something that you shouldn't have done? You disobey God? No, eternal life is eternal life. Friend, whenever you go in by the doorway, whenever you go in by the Lord Jesus Christ and enter the sheepfold, you have eternal life. Now go on with me there. John 10:28. I want you to see this. It says, I give them eternal life. That's forever. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Friend, I want you to know today, when you enter the sheepfold, you entered into the palm, the nail-scarred palm of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He makes the promise to you and me that once you're in His hand, once you're in His sheepfold, you will never lose that wonderful security and that wonderful salvation that He purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. I don't keep myself saved. He keeps me saved. And I'm grateful to God that He is not only the shepherd and the door, but He has kept me there by His own keeping power. Well, let's go back here. Let's go back to John 10 and now verse 3. Something interesting here. You think you're already confused? Well, you're going to get confused maybe a little bit more. Verse number 3. It says, to him the doorkeeper opens. Okay, preacher, this is getting too much for me here. You're saying that Jesus is the shepherd and He's also the door. All right. Who is this doorkeeper in verse 3? I'm going to tell you who it is. It is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. The first person is God the Father. We've already seen Him in the statement, I am. Remember, God the Father gave Himself that name at the burning bush experience in Exodus with Moses. Moses said, God, who am I going to say sent me? And in Exodus chapter 3, God gave Himself His own mysterious name. He said, you just tell them I am sent you. You tell them the great I am sent you. And then all the way throughout the Old Testament, through Deuteronomy, through the book of Isaiah, God identifies Himself with that statement, I am. So already in view in this one little story, these 10 verses, we see God the Father in that statement, I am. We see God the Son in the door and the shepherd. And now the doorkeeper is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with me coming to salvation? He is the one that points me to the Savior. You know, there's people sitting in the balcony. There's people sitting right down here on the main floor in the back, in the front right now. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you. He is the doorkeeper. It might be guardian or porter in your copy of God's Word, but He is the one that points Jesus out to us. He is the one that draws us to Jesus, the door. He is the one that draws us to Jesus, the shepherd. And God is already speaking with many of us right now by His Holy Spirit, by His holy porter, by His holy guardian, by His holy doorkeeper, the Holy Spirit. And so how grateful we are to God here to understand what is in view here. We're seeing no less than God Himself in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we go on here and we see something in verse 3. It says, to Him the doorkeeper, that's the Holy Spirit, opens, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Oh my goodness, I love that. There's several words in there I love. First of all, it is the word name. Jesus personalizes His ministry and His love and His care for each individual sheep in the sheepfold. That's how much He loves you. You know, the Antichrist in the last book of the Bible is going to give you a number. Or I hope He doesn't give you a number. He's going to give those who are outside the faith, outside the sheepfold, a number, the mark of the beast. But He doesn't care about you. To Him, you're just a number. He's like these census takers that goes up and down the streets. He's going to be going up and down the streets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's all this world cares about you. To you, you're just a number. But to Jesus, you've got a name. Oh, I love the song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing a story. The sinner has come home. Oh, friend, Jesus loved you so much that He individualizes His care and His ministry to each one of us. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows all that you're going through right now. In this building, there's all kinds of trouble. There's all kinds of trials. There are all kinds of difficulties. Jesus knows about every hurt and pain that you're going through right now. That's how much He loves you. He has called you by name, but more than that, He has called you by His own voice. That's what it says there in verse 3. If you belong to Him, then you will recognize His voice. And the shepherds back in Bible days, they had this unintelligible language that they used with their sheep. Whenever they wanted to speak a word of warning or encouragement to them, they would use this unintelligible language that just the sheep understood. And it couldn't be mimicked. It couldn't be imitated. So if there was some thief that tried to imitate the true shepherd's unintelligible language, the sheep would run for their lives because they knew the voice of the shepherd. Look at verse 5. Every eye look there. It says, yet they will by no means, talking about the sheep, follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Listen to me, friend. If you belong to Jesus today, you know His voice. And He's speaking to you. He's speaking to people in this building today. And if you belong to Him, if you're in the safety of the sheepfold, you can hear His voice. You mean I can hear a literal voice? Oh, no. I've never heard the literal voice of Christ, but I've been led by Him. And I want to tell you, His leading is much louder than any voice I've ever heard. And so God is speaking to us today. If you belong to Him, He is giving you direction. He is giving you leadership. He's giving you peace about the direction you ought to go. And the wonderful thing about it here is it tells us right here in verse 4, He brings out His own sheep and goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Isn't it wonderful that He's not like a cattleman that drives us from behind? And He's not like a lot of shepherds with the sheep dogs that bark on the heels of the sheep. No, the true shepherd gets out in front of the flock, like it says there in verse 4, and He leads them out. He doesn't drive them, He leads them, and they follow Him. Who are you following today? Are you following the conventional wisdom of the day? All the popular opinions of how things ought to go today? Are you following the world's way? Are you following Madison Avenue? Are you following Him? You'll follow Him if you hear His voice. And you'll hear His voice if you belong to Him, if you're in the sheepfold. Because He is the door. And as the door, Jesus is legitimate. He is the true, prescribed, proper way to God the Father. Now that brings me to the second statement here in verse number 6. It says there, Jesus used this illustration. Do you see it? Verse 6. But they did not understand the things which He spoke to them. A lot of you scratching your head say, man, I'm in the same boat with them. I have not understood one word you've said today, preacher. Well, guess what? The people that listened to Jesus didn't either. That's why I said in verse 6, I've got to draw a picture for you, okay? I'm going to draw a picture for you, all right? So that you can understand, all right? I am not only the legitimate way, but I, as the door, am also the liberating way. What's right there? Look at it. Verse number 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly. Hadn't we seen that before? Amen, amen. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I tell you the truth. Yeah, you're smart folks. He said it already once in verse number 1. And so He's saying it again, since you didn't get it the first time in verses 1 through 5, I just want you to know that I'm speaking words of veracity and integrity and in truthfulness. Amen, amen. I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, most assuredly, look at it here. Verse 7, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. This is what I want you to see. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. What does that word saved mean? Man, it means delivered. It means freed. It means liberated. Here I was suffering under the yoke and bondage of sin. I had the penalty of sin upon me. I deserved hell, but Jesus, the door, opened the way for me. And when he opened the way for me, he saved me. He freed me from the power of sin. He liberated me from the penalty and the presence of sin. Oh, friend, Jesus wants to save you today. That's why he would say in John 14:6, I am the way, not a way, or not the best way, but definite article, I am the one and only way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Friend, if you want to be saved today, you need to listen for his voice. The doorkeeper is standing there and he is wooing you to come into the sheepfold. He is convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment in this place today. And Jesus, the door, is throwing open his arms to you, saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you salvation. I'm going to give you rest. So you've got a choice today, friend. Here's the doorway. Here it is, right here in front of you. It's wide open. Are you going to put your foot on the threshold of that doorway? It's going to take faith. It's going to take a lot of trust, because the next step is like stepping out into a floorless future. But what an exciting future it is, because it is a venture and a journey of faith. You see, you've got a choice today, friend. The door is standing open in front of you. And you've got a choice. You can stand there and look at it like a calf looking at a new gate and just sit there and debate about it and theorize about it. Or you can do something about it. You can go through it today and be saved. Trust him as your Savior. I'm going to tell you, it's going to lead you into life abundant, which perfectly leads me into the third and final point of this message. Verse number 10. Jesus the door is not only legitimate, Jesus the door is not only liberating, but third and finally, Jesus the door is life-giving. Jesus uses that word life in a very wonderful way in verse number 10. Look at it there, every eye. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life. But not just any kind of life, that they may have it more abundantly. Friend, Jesus, the door, is opening the way for you to have life full of meaning, full of purpose, full of abundance. Now, the truth of the matter is, every one of us in this building has life. Every one of us in this building has a pulse. Every one of us in this building has brain waves. You're sucking in air and exhaling it as I am speaking to you. You have life. But my friend, he's talking more than just existing through the day, just existing through this day so I can get to tomorrow. That's the pitiful kind of life that so many people have. I am just existing today. I'm just trying to get through this day until I lay my head on my pillow tonight to go through the same thing tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after and the day after. Friend, that's not life. That's just existing. That's just sucking in air and eating food till the day you die. What kind of life is that? Jesus has become the doorway into a brand new world for you, a life full of meaning, a life full of purpose, a life full of abundance. And all you have to do is take one step of faith. And as you do, he will open the doorway. into a brand new life, in a brand new world, full of abundance, full of meaning, full of purpose. You know what? Every one of us has a door standing in front of us today. Not just any door. It's the doorway of Jesus. Many of us have already walked through it by faith. We have trusted Him as our Savior. We are in the sheepfold. Some have not. You've got a choice today. Will you trust Him? Will you take a step of faith? Will you put your foothold on the threshold of trust in God? Or will you go one more day just standing there, looking, debating, scratching your head? It's your choice. I pray that you'll make the right choice, because only is there abundance on the other side of that door.